The New South Wales and federal governments have announced an increase in financial support for individuals who have lost work due to the Greater Sydney lockdown. The increase will come in from week four and take the total support to $600 a week. Linda Reynolds is the Minister for the NDIS and Government Services, and I spoke to her a short time ago and started by asking if she felt today's announcement of an additional $100 a week was enough to encourage the people of Sydney to follow stay-at-home orders.
Well, that's not what this is about, Patricia. What we've done today is the federal government, in close consultation with the New South Wales government, we have evolved and extended the federal government support. It is a comprehensive suite of measures now available to New South Wales. And as you said, with the COVID-19 disaster payment, we've increased the weekly payments from $500 to $600 a week. And for those who've lost between 8 and 20 hours a week or a day's work a week, it's $325. So that is important income support to help them get through this current difficult period. And as you've said, in addition, we've come to an agreement with the New South Wales government for a new small to medium enterprise business support. There is also other support available to individuals such as Job Search. So we do have quite a comprehensive package of support to help the New South Wales get through this current period.
But is this really a concession that what New South Wales is about to embark on here, what the people of Greater Sydney are about to embark on, is a long lockdown, just like Victoria did last year?
No, not at all. We're just saying it's reoccurring by week so that people don't have to, after this week, they don't have to. It will cut off. So if it is 2 weeks, it will cut off after 2 weeks automatically. It is really just making it simpler for people to go online, to get this payment, and to do what they need to do over the next week, 2 weeks. So we're not preempting any length. So we're just making it easier.
If there is a longer length, and the Victorian lockdown last year is obviously the benchmark for a really long lockdown, you said that you wanted to respond to the conditions. Does that mean that it could go higher than $600 potentially?
Well, again, Patricia, that's a hypothetical.
Well, it's a possibility.
We're evolving. The government, I think, has done a great job at being responsive. And as the virus evolves, and now with the Delta variant, we are evolving with that changing threat and circumstances. And it is our hope that as more people get vaccinated, we can then move into phases 2, 3, and 4. As people get vaccinated. So we hope that with more people getting vaccinated, we can actually return to a more normal way of life.
Yeah, normal way of life is something we all want to get to. I just want to move to your portfolio specifically because a very significant thing happened on Friday that I don't think has got enough attention. That annoys me, but I know news changes, Minister. Independent assessments. The shadow NDIS Minister, Bill Shorten, says he doesn't trust the government not to try again with independent assessments for the NDIS that were basically shelved as an idea on Friday. Is the idea definitely dead?
Independent assessments are certainly dead.
How dead?
But can I just... They're dead.
You won't resurrect them?
What the meeting... No, we will not. But what we have agreed... And first of all, can I thank my State and Territory Disability Ministerial counterparts? The meeting was incredibly important for the future of the NDIS. Patricia, as you know, we've discussed this before. When I became Minister, I put a halt to changes and to legislation so that I could consult widely within the sector, but also with my state and territory counterparts. And I've done that, and I've heard many things that we need to improve in the NDIS. One thing is very clear. Everybody agrees the NDIS is a most wonderful scheme. It's globally unique, and everybody wants the scheme to endure for many generations to come. But after 8 years, and the legislation is now 9 years old, the scheme needs reform. So the wonderful thing is that we came together as a federation nearly 10 years ago, states and territories on a multi-partisan basis, and we now need to do that again. And I think the signs are very good that we can do that because the scheme needs to be fairer.
Okay, do you stand by that figure that you've provided about how much the NDIS is blowing out?
Yeah, well, yes, I absolutely do.
So does that mean you intend to change it to claw back that money?
No, not at all. So what we agreed on Friday is all state and territory ministers, we've agreed to work together to review more deeply the cost drivers of the scheme and also to better understand the actuarials so that we can work together to agree on a package of reforms which will eventually work their way into the federal legislation. Because this is a scheme of our federation, it is not a federal government scheme. So we're working together to look at the cost drivers, but it is actually quite a simple equation, Patricia. It's the scheme cost is a driven by two things, by the number of participants entering the scheme and also by their average cost. And both of those are demonstrably going up very significantly. So we have to make the scheme sustainable so that it is affordable for, you know, for many generations to come.
So
state and territory ministers agree with that.
For people who are relying on the NDIS and were incredibly stressed about this, do you apologise for the stress that this idea of the independent assessments has caused them?
Well, look, I am very sorry that some of our most vulnerable felt concerned. I heard that concern loudly and clearly, which is why I've taken the actions that I have and why I'm working in, you know, hand in glove now with the state and territories to
so
reform the scheme.
Yeah,
so
you can see that the anxiety was extreme. I mean, I've heard some terrible stories.
I absolutely heard what people said. But more importantly than just listening, Patricia, I have acted, the Commonwealth Government has acted, because we want this scheme to endure for those it was designed for, and that is the Australians who have the most serious and permanent disabilities. And without question, this brilliant scheme is changing their lives. But we've got more people on the scheme in numbers, but we've also got people on the scheme now who are there for health conditions. We're getting more and more people with dementia. And so we've got lots of people on the scheme now who the scheme was never designed for. So these are the sorts of things we have to look through and work through with states and territories in, you know, is the scheme still on track? And how do we make it, you know, how do we make the scheme better for participants? But also, how do we put it on a sustainable growth trajectory? Because the scheme will keep growing.
So should I read into that, that you're going to find another way to cut the NDIS, just not through the independent assessments? Because you still want to claw back. You're still saying you're spending too much on the NDIS. That's what I hear.
Well, Patricia, it's jointly funded by the federal and state and territory governments. So a 12.5% growth per annum on a trajectory to $60 billion by the end of the decade is not sustainable for federal and also for state and territory taxpayers. So we've got to work together to make sure that this scheme can keep delivering for many generations of Australians. And at the moment, it is 12.5% growth per annum is not sustainable. And in fact, initially when I came into the portfolio only 3 months ago, I thought it would was on track to overtake Medicare in 4 years. Based on the latest actuarials, that'll happen in the next 2 years.
Okay.
So we need, like any other insurance scheme, Patricia, we need to have a way of making it's sustainable in terms of its growth.
That's the Minister for the NDIS, Linda Reynolds. 0418 226 576 is our text line.